ask for your prayers this afternoon. The Lord bless His Word and make it profitable to our understanding. I'd like to begin in the book of Deuteronomy, written on the board, forget not. Familiar passage of instruction here in Deuteronomy to the children of Israel. The Lord, in fulfilling His promise and the plan that He had for them and bringing them to a land that wasn't their own, that hadn't been their own, but it was promised to them. It was their possession for them to go into and possess. And the Lord fought their battles for them. The Lord parted the seas when seas needed to be parted. He caused walls to fall down when walls were in the way. The Lord gave them a land that had not been their own. And so the Lord had instructions that He gave through His servant to the people. Begin here in the first. We'll read, skip through this a little bit. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so doth the Lord thy God chasten thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. They had been through quite a journey, quite a difficult period of time that they had brought on themselves, wandering in the wilderness and going through some places of hardship. But even before that, as the Lord brought them through the wilderness and He had parted the Red Sea and brought them into a place where they got thirsty, and then they became dissatisfied with a portion of food that they had, and they began crying out to the Lord. Quite a journey that the Lord had brought them through to bring them to this place. You know, every one of us are on a journey. Every one of us have a destination that we're headed to, and every one of us have had some degree of life that we've lived. Some less, some more. But there's a song we sing that, "Is not this the land of Beulah?" that says, "I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years." I hope whenever we look back over the past of our life, we can see that it's a path that the Lord's been leading me upward. Like the song we sang this morning, Sister Betty sang about higher ground. I want that to be able to be the vantage point that I'm looking at whenever I look back. He told them, "Remember, as I bring you into the land of Canaan, to the promised land, remember how I led you. Remember your time back there in the wilderness. Don't forget it." These things are for a reason and for a purpose. The scripture says in Romans 15, verse 4, "Which things are written aforetime, they're written for our learning, that we might be able to learn, that we might be able to benefit." We don't have to go reinvent the wheel, so to speak. But I'm to be able to learn wisdom from those that have gone before me, from those that have lived life, that I can see where the end of their decisions took them. Learn from those things. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what the Lord has brought you from. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you. So He told them here, "When I bring you into this place, remember how I provided for you. Remember how you didn't have but one set of shoes, and I cared for you all that time. Remember how I was able to prevent your feet from swelling in that time." You know, there's a reason why the Lord was giving them this instruction here. Remember. Here's a warning here. You're going to have to remember, because the enemy loves to cause memory loss in every one of us. He loves to come along and cause to conveniently slip from our minds the things that the Lord has done for us. That I get to a new battle today and I'm all worked up and in distress, and the Lord's saying, "Remember. Remember what I've done for you before. Remember where I brought you from. I haven't brought you this far to just drop you here. Remember." He said, "Keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of depths that spring out of valleys and hills. So forth he went on to tell about all the land that the Lord had given. It's a promise. Promised land that I have for you, where you're not going to suffer hunger and lack, and it's not going to be a barren wilderness land that you're going to dwell in. There's a place that flows with milk and honey. Don't you know it was a type of what the Lord has for us today? A type of an experience through the infilling of the Holy Spirit and sanctification, that there's a land that I can possess. A land that has an abundance of all that we need. But there was a warning that followed on the heels of that. It says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Isn't that fitting? To give thanksgiving to the Lord for all that he's done for us. It says, though, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Don't you imagine then it probably seemed like an unlikely event? Lord, how could we ever forget you? How could we ever forget all that you've done for us and the way you've provided? And I'll never forget the water coming out of that rock that was dry and you split it and the water came. I'll never forget those things. I'll never forget how you parted the Red Sea for us and how we woke up to find manna every morning to feed us. I'll never forget those things. But yet how easily and how quickly we as mankind can forget. How quickly they forgot. There's something about mankind and what the Lord was warning about here, that whenever you're not in trouble, there's danger. You know, there's risk and there's danger to us spiritually when we're in the battle. We know that we're in danger then. The enemy's after us. I'm fighting a hot battle here and I know. But there's also danger for us when things are going well. There's danger for us whenever I'm up on the mountaintop. Whenever I don't feel the press of the enemy, maybe as severely as I did last week or yesterday, there's danger there. Beware in those times as well. Whenever you have plenty, whenever things are going well, the danger then is your tendency is going to be forgetting the Lord. While I might would say, Lord, I'd never forget you, the tendency is whenever things are going well, that I start to forget the Lord. It's not as front and center in my mind. I may still have a head knowledge of it. I may still be able to look back and I could tell you what happened. But whenever I'm in trouble, that's not what's first and foremost in my mind. I've forgotten something. I've allowed something to slip out of my mind. You know, we have perhaps different definitions of what prosperity is. It's so easy for me to say, I'm not rich. I know I'm not rich. Well, we could talk about comparisons of other places in the world and living standards and those kind of things. But you know, I don't believe it's just the danger as if you have enough zeros behind the number in your paycheck. Be careful of abundance of life. Be careful of ease and convenience of life. Whenever things are going well, whenever I read some of the books that of folks from times past that have had to live by faith in God and didn't even know where their next provisions were coming from, and that maybe the Lord would go tell them to go somewhere and they didn't even have the money for bus fare, and yet they go by faith. Lord, I don't hardly know what that is anymore. I live in a different time, and our world today is in danger of forgetting the Lord. Our world in wholesale has begun to forget the Lord and forget who he is and forget from whom the blessings of life come. From the Father of lights. It's from him that every good and every perfect gift comes. But it can be easy as a society, I'm speaking now here, that my own hands have gotten me this. I can either earn it myself, I can take it from the rich, or I can get it from the government. There's a safety net somewhere along the way that I'll be okay, that I'll be able to make it all right. May we never get into a place of convenience or of ease of life. Whatever our position in life, whatever our paycheck or lack of paycheck is, that I trust the Lord, that I not forget who the Lord is and what He's done for me. There's a song that says, "Teach me where you brought me from. Lord, teach me where I was. Help me to never forget where I've been and where you've brought me from." I'd like to look now at Psalms, the 77th chapter. Psalm 77, verse 10. Let's start in 9. "Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies?" You ever felt that way? You ever had the temptation to feel that way? You ever had the devil come along and say, "Has the Lord forgotten you? Has the Lord forgotten your need and forgotten where you're at? Does the Lord really see that prayer request that you've had before Him for so long? Has the Lord forgotten about you?" It wouldn't be the first time that the enemy has made that accusation, has brought that question and that doubt. The psalmist here was saying, "Lord, have you forgotten about me? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy works of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" You remember when David was in distress once and his people were turning against him and the women and children had been taken prisoner and he was in a place of distress. They were talking of taking his life, and it said in that place that David encouraged himself in the Lord. David, in a place whenever things were looking so dark and so bleak and so difficult and hard, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And every one of us, no doubt, will have those times and places in our lives that I need some encouragement here. I need a little pickup here. I need a little something to get me going again. I'm in a hard place here. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, how did that work? I don't know what David did. He was a psalmist. Maybe he began to sing some of the songs that he knew. But one thing that I'm almost certain of, in the way that David encouraged himself, it was in the Lord. No doubt he was remembering who the Lord was, remembering the things that the Lord has done for the generations before. "Lord, I remember, oh, I remember that story, Lord, at the time that you worked for Abraham. Lord, I remember this time that you worked for Moses and for Joshua. Lord, I remember these stories. I remember how you never failed your people. So Lord, you're not going to fail me now." You know, the Lord at times and places in our lives like that wants to encourage us in Him, to cause us to remember. Verse 6 of this same chapter says, "I call to remembrance my song in the night." Do you have a song in the night? Has the Lord ever given you a song in the darkest hours and places of life? The Lord has a song that He wants to teach us. The Lord has some things that He wants to remind us. Just be still. Just be still. I've got this. Remember that I am God. Remember that I have never seen a crisis. I've never been in distress. But how easily we can forget. You remember when the children of Israel were headed over into Canaan, and they were crossing the river, the Jordan River, and He told the priest to go first and set the sole of their feet into the water, and He told him to pick something up. Pick up a stone and carry it with you. Well, Lord, I gotta go all the way across the river and I gotta carry a stone with me, but there was a reason. Pick up a stone and carry it with you, and when you get to the other side, He said, build a monument. Erect something out of those stones that whenever you pass by in years to come, paraphrasing the account here, in the times to come with your children, and your children look on and say, what is the meaning of these stones? Then you can tell them. Then you can remember what the Lord did for you here. You know, there's a place in our experience with the Lord that we need to pick up a stone. Whenever we cross into the Canaan land, we need to carry a stone with us. Devil, I gave that to the Lord. I consecrated that to the Lord. I need to go back and remember sometimes my consecration. Remember sometimes the things that I told the Lord, the things that I gave the Lord. Lord, I said that I'd never go back. Lord, I said that I believed in you, and Lord, I still do. That I love you with all my heart. Take the stones. Take something that's going to endure the test of time. That the water and the wind and all, it's not going to erode it away quickly. But have something that can stand as a monument and a testimony, because it's easy to forget. It doesn't take very long. And especially whenever you get to the next generation. How long does it take sometimes to forget? Someone ever asks you when you get home from church, what was the message about? And I say, it was, I don't remember. How easily we can forget. You know, the Lord knows our humanity. The Lord understands our humanity. And I'll say here, not in trying to load guilt on us, if you get home this afternoon, I hope you remember something that you heard this afternoon. But you know, sometimes I can look back and say, maybe what's the use of going to service? I don't remember what I heard in a message 3 months ago. Do you know if we're faithful? The Lord knows how to feed us. Even if I can't remember every scripture, every verse, every thought, if I'm faithful and I'm hungry, the Lord will feed me. And the Lord, maybe we'll get into it a little later, the Lord has a plan to bring things back to our remembrance. It's called the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that'll teach you all things whatsoever I've given you. He'll bring them back to your remembrance. The Lord knows how to do those things. I may not be able to remember what meal I ate 6 months ago, but you can look at me and know that I've been eating. Lord, help us that we'd be faithful to Him. Stones of remembrance. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 7. We hear often the phrase Ebenezer stone. Let's just look and recall the setting, the story that comes from. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 7. When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord and God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The Lord's the one that fought the battle. They were in a bad way, in a bad place there, but it said the Lord thundered with a great noise. Do you know it's only going to be by the miracle of the grace of God for any of us to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, for the Lord to be able to bring us through by His grace, the Lord won the battle. He gave the victory. He gave the ability for them to conquer somebody that was greater than they were. But because of the Lord, their God that fought for them. So it was only fitting at the end of this that it says Samuel took and he made a stone here and he said, it is a stone of remembrance. We'll call it Ebenezer, saying hitherto, or from all the way back up until this point in time, the Lord has helped us. You know what that tells us? If the Lord has helped me from all the way back in my life, up to this point in time, The Lord is a faithful God that changes not. It means tomorrow He's not going to do something different. Tomorrow, remember that the Lord is still the Lord. The Lord is still on His throne. The Lord still has victory. So do you have in your life some Ebenezer stones? Do you have some places that I can say, Lord, You gave me this. You gave me this victory. Lord, I was in a difficult place and I was seeking You and I was praying and the Lord helped me here. The Lord gave me victory here. You know, it's what we do on Wednesday night or Sundays or whenever the Lord gives a testimony. It's not in vain. It's not for nothing. But by the word of our testimony, you know, there's something that cements. There's something that can help turn this into a stone. The Lord's done this for me. To be able to empty out vessel to vessel. To be able to show my children. I need to have some stones that I can show my children. Children, you're not feeling well. You're sick. But let me tell you something. I remember the Lord. I remember what the Lord did for me one time when I was sick. Let me tell you about it. How the Lord helped me. There's some Ebenezer stones I can point out here. Because we're in danger today. Our faith is endangered. If we're not careful to remember the Lord our God, He will become an afterthought. He will become, when all else fails, then I remember the Lord. The Lord does not want to play second fiddle to anyone else. The Lord wants to be our God. He wants to be the one that I turn to, that I remember, the very first one. Lord, I'm in trouble. I need help. Where am I going to go? Where could I turn but to the Lord? Lord, You've helped me all the way back. There are stepping stones of our faith. There are things that I look at that I thought, Lord, I don't know what I'd do in this situation. Lord, I don't know hardly if I'd have the faith for this. You know, the Lord knows how to increase our faith. The Lord knows how to take us step by step to build our faith from faith to faith. The Lord won't bring on us more than we're able to bear, but we do have a responsibility. As the Lord has done something for me, I want to plant a stone here. I want to go back and remember this from time to time. It doesn't hurt to go back and recall the Lord helped me 10 years ago with this thing. But I hope that's not the only stone you have. I hope there's some stones that we have from last month. From last week, the Lord's still helping me. Hitherto, from all the way back in time, all the way to now, the Lord's helping me. That's to inspire and increase our faith. A song in the night. Lord, what's the song say? He will not fail me now. When Abraham believed the Lord, he didn't fail him then. The song says, lean hard on Him, O tested soul. On Him thy cares and burdens roll. Our God still lives and has control. Oh, He stood the test of time, and He'll be faithful to every one of us. There's another stone I'm thinking about. Read about it in Exodus 28. He told for the priest, an ordering of the priesthood and their garments and all, He said, take some stones and engrave in the stone the names of the tribes of Israel, and set them in pouches of gold on the shoulder of the priest. You know, that's interesting, but there's meaning, there's significance behind it. Take and engrave the name. Do you know what? You can read in the New Testament whenever it brings in of Jesus being our high priest, that it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, because He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then He's able to succor them who are also tempted. The Lord is able. He remembers us. He knows us. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And so of the priests in the Old Testament, they were to be those among their brethren, those that were like unto them, and those that carried their burdens, those that brought their, they made intercession for them, for their sins, for their troubles. How many times did Moses, oh Lord, they did it again. Lord, have mercy upon them. Lord, forgive them. But their names were before them. It was something to give. It's engraved in stone. It's not easily forgotten. It's not just a passing thought, but it's something that's ever before me. Read about in Isaiah 49. Maybe we'll just turn and read this quickly. Isaiah, the 49th chapter. There was another place where God's people began to say and wonder, has the Lord forgotten us? Isaiah 49, verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord hath forgotten me. My Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So the priests were to remember the people, remember their names. But oh, the greatest priest of all, our great high priest. You know, he bears our names before him continually. It says here that God has our names engraven in his hand. And that our high priest standing on the right hand of the Father makes intercession for us. Folks, he doesn't forget us. The Lord doesn't have memory loss problems like sometimes we can. The Lord doesn't have the problem where his mind just gets so full that, oh, I forgot. You ever embarrass yourself by forgetting something important? You forget to call somebody on their birthday, or you forget this, or it just slipped my mind. I forgot. The Lord doesn't have that problem, does he? The Lord doesn't say, oh, I forgot they had a problem yesterday they wanted help with and I forgot all about it. We are continually before the Lord. We're continually on his mind. He doesn't forget about us. But what about us? The Lord doesn't forget us. But do I forget the Lord sometimes? Do I go about my life in a way that sometimes I forget the Lord? Our minds, especially, it seems like in this time, in this generation of an information age where we are bombarded with so much and our lives are so full and they're so busy, it seems like a lot of folks, you ask them, how's it going, or how you been? Busy, busy. We've got so much going on. Our lives are full. And it's easy sometimes for our minds to be full of so many things that we're trying to juggle and to balance and to remember, and I've got to do this and I've got to take care of that, and that I forget things. But Lord, help me to prioritize the things that are most important. There's something here that I can't afford to forget. I can't afford to allow this to slip from my mind. Forget not what the Lord has done for us. Remember what is said there in Psalm 77? Therefore, I will meditate on all thy ways. You know, that's a good answer for forgetfulness. I'll meditate on the Lord's ways. I'm going to give it thought. My mind to dwell on that. More than just a passing thought. More than just when I get in trouble, I remember. But I'm going to remember and to meditate and to think upon, to spend time with the Lord. You heard the phrase, you use it or lose it. Whenever I've tried to learn foreign languages, been trying to work on German, and I've noticed when I go to Germany and I'm immersed in it, I do a lot better. And I pick it up a lot faster, and I'm able to converse a little bit and understand. But guess what happens when I come home and everyone's speaking English? I start to forget it. Things that I knew then, I couldn't tell you right now how to say it. There's something that, if I don't use it regularly, if I don't exercise myself in it continually, it'll start to slip. I'll start to lose some of it. I went to school, as many of you know, to learn engineering. And whenever I graduated and I had my degree, I got a job that wasn't doing the work of an engineer. It opened the door to allow me to have the job, but it wasn't designing or true engineering, as you would think of the word or the profession. You know, I've forgotten a lot in the 10 years or so since I've been in engineering school. If you were to ask me some of the formulas and of some of the fundamental things of engineering, maybe some of the most basic, I could still have a grasp on, but you use it or you lose it. If I used it every day and I implemented it, and I know this principle because I've been applying it every day. I've been using it. I've been using this formula in the calculation of something that I'm doing every day. You know, it's going to ingrain itself in your mind over time. Eventually, if you use it often enough, it's going to ingrain itself in your mind. And there are things that I've used it and I've used it and I've used it, and I don't forget those things. May the word of the Lord be that way to us. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." I want to meditate on the ways of the Lord. We're called into a higher profession today than that of an engineer or any other degree or occupation of the world. We are called to be saints. Are you using it? Are you using the tools of the trade? If you use them, you're not as likely to lose them. But if we're not careful and we're not diligent in our walk with the Lord, I'll start to let some things slip from my heart and from my mind. Psalms 103. 103rd chapter of Psalms says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Don't forget all his benefits. Don't forget the Lord. We heard this morning about a great privilege. Folks, we are born into a royal lineage with royal privileges, a royal birthright that is given unto us. Do we forget it sometimes? The song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." If we're not careful, we can start to forget. I can go about and I have problems and I have difficulties, and I can cause the Lord to be an afterthought in my mind. That I know what I need to do. I've got to take care of this. I've got to address this. I've got to deal with this. And the Lord wants to say, "Hold on. Don't forget. You've got a privilege. You've got a birthright here. You have the privilege to bring that to me. You don't have to bear that. You don't have to carry that. You don't have to stress over that. You don't have to lose your peace and your joy over that. Bring it to me. It's your privilege. It's your birthright to be able to do that." But it's so easy to forget that sometimes in the heat of the moment, or in the battle that I'm in today, or the trial that I'm facing now, to forget the Lord, to forget what he's taught me in the past. Remember the prodigal's brother? I always call him the prodigal son. I suppose for lack of a different name, I'll call him the forgetful brother. Because he said unto his father, whenever his son returned, "Why are you killing the fatted calf and making merry? You never did that for me." And he said, "Son, all that I have is thine. This has been yours all along. And here you are grumbling and complaining that it hadn't been yours and you haven't been enjoying it. If you haven't been enjoying it, it's been your own fault. You haven't been partaking of it like you ought to." Folks, when I think of our royal birthright, the privileges that we have, are we availing ourselves of it? Do you know the Lord still wants to show himself strong unto a people that'll wait on the Lord, unto a people that will look unto the Lord, that'll remember the Lord in their distress and in their times of need, and when things are going well. Whenever I'll give the Lord opportunity, what a privilege to trust in the Lord, to allow him to work. May we not be forgetful to bring those things to the Lord. I'd like to consider another aspect of our walk with the Lord. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Spoke about the stones at the river, the places in our lives and our personal walk with the Lord and our consecration that the Lord calls for some things. The Lord asks us to consecrate ourselves. He is our reasonable service. And Paul told us to bring ourselves to Him, to give ourselves to Him because He is as a living sacrifice, because He is our reasonable service. Those things that we put on the altar, the consecrations and the vows that we make to the Lord, we must be careful not to be forgetful of. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4 says, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed." It's easier when life's going rough, when I'm facing difficulty, to say, "Lord, if you will just do this, Lord, if you'll do this, then I will do this. I'll do that. I'll give you this. I'll give you that." And then I get out of the distress. I get out of the trouble and I don't feel the urgency of it anymore. How easy it is to forget. When the Lord's dealing with me, perhaps in a service, perhaps under the sound of His word, "Oh Lord, that's true. Lord, I need to take care of that. I need to deal with something here. Lord, I mean to do something about this." Isn't it easy sometimes for the devil to take that right out of our minds? You leave and you go home and the busyness of life, and before I know it, I'm weeks or months down the road and I'm no different than I was back then when the Lord first talked to me. James talked about being not a forgetful hearer. May we not hear the word of God. And it's as a seed that's sown in our minds and we go our way and it hasn't implanted itself, that I haven't really accepted and absorbed it and meditated on it. It says here, when you've made vows to the Lord, whenever you've made your sacred consecrations and the things that between you and the Lord, that I've told the Lord, "Lord, I want to draw closer to You." You know those aren't empty words. They shouldn't be empty words. "Lord, I want a closer walk with You. I want to be more like You, Lord." What do I do with it next week? Are there places that I have become forgetful in my walk with the Lord? He said, defer not to pay it. Pay to the Lord what you owe. Let's look now at 2 Corinthians. Maybe the eighth chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10. "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." Now, little context here, whenever Paul in the previous letter to the Corinthians had written unto them about being willing to give of their means and lay aside on the first day of the week and to be willing to help those that are in need. And he's writing this now later. He's writing them a follow-up letter when he's saying, "Don't you remember last year? You remember a year ago when you were forward to do it? Or you had a desire, you had a zeal that, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to help my brother that's in need over there. I see the need. I hear the call of that congregation over there. Maybe they've had a disaster or they've had something happen and there's some need and I have a desire to help in that. But some time has passed. And time had passed here and nothing had happened. They had been eager to do it. They had had an intention to do it. They had had the right desire, but over the passage of time, the desire had never translated into action, into doing it. So he went on to say, "Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." You know, the Lord's, He's looking for good intentions. He's looking for willingness. The Lord can't do a whole lot if He doesn't have our will given to Him. But He wants not only good intentions. He wants not only for me to tell Him, "Lord, this that You've pricked my heart about, this that You've stirred me, You've challenged me with, Lord, I want to do something about that." And a year later down the road, the Lord's coming back and saying, "Why haven't You done it? Remember when I dealt with you back there? Remember whenever I stirred you up? It's time to perform the doing of it. It's time to quit talking about it. It's time to quit thinking about it. It's time to quit intending to. And it's time to do it. Whenever the Lord deals with us, whenever the Lord challenges and He stirs us about things. Oh, the Lord's a merciful God. He's a loving and a tender and a gentle God. But you know, He wants not only the will, but to perform the doing of it. The Lord wants to stir us up from time to time. Remember that back there? Child, I know you're forgetful. Wonder how many times He's had to say that of me. I know you're forgetful. I know you have a hard time, but I'm going to have to send something your way here. The chastening of the Lord. I want to get your attention. I want you to remember something. I don't want you to keep going on your way. Oh, the danger of continuing down a path of forgetting the Lord. Because it can start with, I just in innocency, I get caught up in the spur of the moment and I forget to go fall on my knees in prayer the first thing. But if I continue down a path of not putting into practice from day to day, of not remembering the Lord, of not meditating on His Word, it'll lead down a path of forgetting His ways and His precepts. You remember the man, the servant, that owed a debt, a great debt that he could never pay, never had any hopes of paying it. He was locked up and no way to make money, no way to ever free himself, no way to, what a bleak picture, what a bleak existence. There's no reason to live. I'm going to be in these bars, in this place, in prison for the rest of my life because I have no hope of being able to get out of this place. And then the Lord comes along and He says, you're free. You're forgiven. I've paid it all. Go on your way now, free. You don't have to carry the weight of that anymore. You don't have to carry the debt of that over your head anymore. Oh, it's a beautiful picture of what the Lord does for us in salvation. Child, you're forgiven. I've wiped the record clean. I don't remember it anymore. You're forgiven of all of that that's behind. Oh, for the wonderful memory the Lord has. He also has a very blessed forgetfulness. That He'll cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. Those things that I've plunged beneath the blood. He doesn't remember them anymore. He doesn't dredge them back up again and say, look at this. Remember this? It's forgotten. It's behind us. Oh, what a debt's been paid in my behalf and every one of us through the blood of Jesus and through His mercy. But how quickly that servant went on his way. You think, how would I ever forget what just happened to me? How could I ever forget that feeling of those doors being swung open and saying, you're free? But we're humans. We have a tendency to forget. He went on his way and looked on another man that owed him a debt. Jesus told this for our learning. For us to be able to get a lesson from it. We've been forgiven so much. If we start to go down a path of forgetting the Lord, just like the passage that we start, remember where I brought you from. Remember the Egypt that I brought you out of. Don't you remember the wilderness that you were wandering around in? Don't you remember how long you struggled with the very same thing that I'm trying to help your brother with? Be merciful. Just as I was merciful with you, don't forget where I brought you from. Don't forget where you would still be if it wasn't for my mercy and my forgiveness to you. But when we start going down this path of forgetfulness, it affects our faith, our ability to believe. It affects our mercy, our gentleness, and our dealings with others. I'd like to close in 2 Peter, the third chapter. Second Peter 3 and verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I don't know, maybe here in the second epistle of Peter, he believed he dealt with some things that he hadn't dealt with in First Peter. How many times do we come to service? How many messages have you sat under? Think you could count them? How many meetings, how many messages online or in person or at a revival or at a camp meeting? You know, many times the messages that we hear, and we heard, I believe, this morning about the foolishness of preaching in Sunday school, about the message that the Lord wants to convey to us. Many times it's not necessarily going to be something that I've never heard that before. But it's something that I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, because it's so easy to forget. It's so easy. They could have said, here, you already wrote to us last time. Don't need to write again, but life happens. And with life, it carries its perplexities, its troubles, its confusions, its questions, and all the things that we experience. And the Lord comes along through His plan, by His Comforter that we talked about, to remind us, by the Word of God that comes through the preaching over the pulpit, to remind us. Remember that? You remember along this line and along that line and along this scripture? I want to stir up your pure minds. It's not that the people here He was writing to had fallen away from the Lord, but I want to stir up your pure minds by remembering. I want to point back to some things and cause your mind to remember something. Isn't that often what preaching and teaching? Remember this. Remember what the Lord said. Remember how the Lord handled this whenever He was treated this way. And these things were written before for our learning today. So may the Lord help us today in our generation, a busy, action-filled, information-driven time and generation, that I not allow my mind to get so full that I forget the things that I can't afford to forget. The Lord and His ways and His precepts, by our meditation upon His Word, by our testimony, the word of our testimony, by those stones that we set up, those stones of remembrance that I go back and look at from time to time, and as was written to the Hebrews, by reason of use, they have their senses exercised, by putting into practice, by talking to the Lord regularly, by exercising faith in the little things of life, then I'm not as forgetful when the big things come. To be able to know where to turn, to be able to know how to handle this situation. The Lord has done surely so much for us. May He help us that we not be forgetful hearers. Forget not. You pray for me. Amen.